Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Your sweet Spirit here this morning with us. And Father, I pray that throughout this service that there'd be lives changed. Lord, that our eyes would be open to areas in our life that, Lord, we just need to give to You. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would be in control throughout this service. May Your will truly be done now. May everything done here this morning exalt You. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I don't have a title for the message yet, so maybe after you guys hear it, you can give me a title. Mitzi's usually pretty good at coming up with them if I don't have one. It's funny some weeks how much I struggle with, like, Lord, what do I need to preach on? What do I need to do? And this week, it's like there's three or four different messages that all felt like they could be used for all of us. But I don't think you guys want to hear three or four messages in a row, so we'll stick to one here. I really pray that the Lord speaks to y'all through this message, because it's something that I need to do in my own life, and I think it's something that many of us need to do, and so it's going to be a kind of a progression. we'll see where it goes, but I wanted to start off with asking y'all, do you realize how much there's power in what we say? There's power in the words that we speak. Does everybody understand how much power there is in the words? You know, it's funny because if someone insults you, if someone hurts your feelings, you remember it, don't you? You know, I can remember things from when I was little where someone was mean to me or insulted me or hurt my feelings somehow. But you know what? I can also remember times that I've hurt other people and I said stuff and I see it on them and I still feel bad about it. You know, a stupid kid, and it happens. But that stuff weighs on you. That stuff sticks with you. And there's so much power in what we say. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has a power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." This really is not a message about words. It's really not. It's just the beginning of where I want to go with it. But there's power of life and death in our tongue. And where I really want us to get to today is not just the words that we speak about others, but what we speak about ourselves even. Matthew 12:37 says, "For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." And so I was thinking about all this, and as a Christian, I really want you to think, what words come out of your mouth? As a child of God, what words really come out of your mouth every day in the workplace, at home, when you're relaxed, maybe in private? So, I was testing Friday night, and I passed this test. I did not know that. So my wife was making homemade lemon bars for my dad's birthday party. And these lemon bars, it was a lot of work. She didn't use it. It was all homemade. And so I did nothing. So I'm sitting there on the couch, and she says, will you come put this pan in the oven for me? So she doesn't have to bend down and read. And I'm like, yeah, I can do that one thing, you know. So I go and grab this pan, and I'm about halfway down, and all at once I go, my hands are on fire, and my first reaction is to let go of it. But then all that work that she just spent, there goes those lemon bars. And I kind of did this and a little bit dumped, and I practically throw it in the oven, and I'm like, it was hot! And I went and stuck my hands under water, and she felt terrible. Well, apparently she'd put it in, and you got to brown the bottom, and then you pour the topping on, and then you put the rest in. So she'd already browned the bottom and took it out. And then and she felt so bad. And I'm running my hands under cold water and got, you know, aloe vera on them. But thankfully, I didn't even blister, you know. And I told her, I said, I'm fine. But I said, you know what? I didn't cuss. I didn't yell. I didn't get angry at her. I said, I did good. Now that I said that, watch this week, I'm going to get hit even harder. But that's not what come out of me. And she felt so bad, she wanted to cry. And I kept saying, I'm fine. It just hurts, you know. I didn't even throw anything at her, you know. I passed that test. But, so as a Christian, I want you to think, what comes out of you when you're in a storm, when you're hit, when you think nobody's looking, when you're comfortable at home? What are the words that are proceeding out of our mouth? And I think, so this is something that I really want. Church, I pray God speaks right now to every one of us. But how many times have we said, well, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. Have you said it? I've said it. I've said it from this pulpit before. I'm just an old sinner. Why do we say that? Why do we say, well, I'm just a sinner? Well, what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So us saying, well, I'm just a sinner, is lining up with what the Word of God says. For all have sinned. You know what all means? All. For we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what it says. And then you look in Romans 3:9. It says, what shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin, as it is written. You see, Jews and Gentiles, all. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. Well, I'm just a sinner. They have altogether become worthless. There is no one good. There was no one who does good. No, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not have. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You say, Pete, where are you going with this? And what a downer message. You go to 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So, Pete, I'm just a sinner. If we claim to be without sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But there's more. See? That's not the whole story. That's the beginning. That's the beginning, see? You read on. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Have you confessed your sins this morning? I don't mean to a priest. I mean to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you got down on your knees at home at an altar? Is there a moment in your life that you cried out to God and you said, God, I'm a filthy sinner. I've been disobedient. Maybe named it. I've stole stuff. I've been full of lust. I've been full of greed. I've been full of jealousy. Has there been a moment in your life that you confessed to Jesus and ask Him to forgive you of your sins? And see, what does it say? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and then purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His Word has no place in our lives. So you say, well, there it is again. We say, oh, well, we confessed our sins. He's purified us from all unrighteousness. But if I claim to be without sin, we make Him out to be a liar and the truth is not in us. But see, that's where I believe, and we've talked about this even recently, how many people don't want to ever admit that they're wrong? They do nothing wrong. Hey, do you know people like that? Like, it doesn't matter. They can make the biggest mistake and they have an excuse to come up with and why they really don't think that they did anything wrong. See, in order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have to come to the point in your life that you say, I've blown it. I've messed it up. I have sinned. I need a Savior. And I believe that that's what it's talking about there. And you go back a few verses to verse 5, and it says, this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. See, in Him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Power in our words. I'm just a sinner. But what did we just read? That if we confess our sins, He purifies us from all unrighteousness. That if we claim we have fellowship with Him, that we walk in the light as He is in the light. Do you see, there's so much difference of who we once were and who we should be now. Is this making sense, or am I just like, you guys are going, what are you talking about, Pete? There's power in our words. And see, when we say, I'm just a sinner, I'm just a sinner, I'm just a sinner, what are we confessing? I wonder sometimes if we say that because we don't want to say, well, I have fellowship with Jesus now, I walk in righteousness. And I think sometimes we don't talk like that. We don't say things like that because we don't want to be labeled a hypocrite, or we don't want to be prideful in who we are in Christ Jesus. But see, there's something in every one of you that if you are a child of God now, there's something that's changed. And that when we are with Him in fellowship now, that's not Pete. We live in the light. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. So, if you're walking in darkness, if it's your practice, if it's your life, and you're walking in darkness, you're being deceived. When you say, I'm just a sinner, that might be the truth, if that's your life. But see, when you become a child of God and you confess your sins, it says He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and it says that we walk in the light now, and in the light there is no darkness. Does that make sense? And so how many of us are saying, well, I'm just a sinner, and I'm just this, and I'm just that. But in reality, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. You notice that it's in Him and in Him. In Him, we might become the righteousness of God. So how many of us are going around saying, well, I'm just an old sinner, and God's saying, are you? Is that your lifestyle? Is that what you practice? If that's your lifestyle and that's what you practice, I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't even wait till the end of this sermon. I'd be up here at these altars crying out to God to forgive me. Eternity's too long. Eternity's too long. Nothing is worth it. But if that is no longer your lifestyle, we are called the righteousness of God now. In 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? How many of us think about, we're God's temple now? I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. This message is for me just as much as it's for you. At work sometimes when I'm out there getting all dirty and sweaty, I don't feel very much like God's temple. You know, and sometimes when you're dealing with people and angry people and upset people, sometimes I don't feel like God's temple very much. But see, it shouldn't be about what's going on the outside. It's what's going on the inside. Am I in Christ now? Am I in Christ now? Do I have that fellowship with Him? Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? In 1 Peter 2:9, this was written in the youth room for a long time. I don't know if it's still up or not. But you, that's all of you that confess Jesus Christ from the back row to the front, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. See, there it is. Out of darkness into His wonderful light. So the power in our words, I'm just a sinner. That means you're still in darkness. But now where have you been called to? Into His wonderful light. So that we may declare the praises of Him who called us. I seen somebody not too long ago that I worked with at UPS. And they started laughing. And they said, I still can't believe you're a preacher. Because they knew who I was. And the darkness that I was in. And the evil that I let rule my life. But that's no longer who I am anymore. Now I'm in His wonderful light. That I'm a royal priesthood. Now that just sounds weird to me to say, I'm a royal priesthood. I'm part of that family. And how many of you walk around going, I'm part of God's family. I'm chosen. I'm a royal priesthood. We would feel weird doing that, wouldn't we? But isn't the life and death in our tongue? Should we really be saying, I'm just a sinner? Or should we be grabbing hold of what God calls us now? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. It says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Then it goes on, dear children, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from the sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. See, what that tells me there is I'm still in a battle. And declaring that I'm no longer a sinner, so to speak, that I'm a royal priesthood now, that I'm God's chosen, but it says that those sinful desires which wage war against you. See, when I confess of who I am now in Christ Jesus, that doesn't mean the battle's over. That doesn't mean that there's still not going to be obstacles. You're going to burn your hand once in a while. You're going to trip. You're going to get hurt. But when we are in Christ now, that is no longer our life of who we once were. And if you are still living in a lifestyle that invites sin in, that invites disobedience in, then I challenge you today to repent and ask God to forgive you. To cry out to God and say, God, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. But I'm still in the middle of it. But see, are you battling against it? Or are you inviting it in? You see the difference there? I battle sin every day. I'm not going to lie and tell you that I never fail. Once in a while, I mean, it is. It's like I confess to you. When I talk about something at work, when I gripe and complain, or you know, I battle those things inside of me. But now my lifestyle is, if I'm inviting that in every day, something's wrong. But when I'm waging war against it, and I say that bad thing at work, I laugh at something that I shouldn't have laughed at, I look at something I shouldn't have looked at, and the Holy Spirit says, Pete, what are you doing? Do I go, whew, God forgive me. Help me to not be that man anymore. Help me not to be that person anymore, that I might declare the praises of You who called me out of darkness into Your wonderful light. I was thinking about a car show. I don't know how many of y'all, maybe everybody here has been to a car show before. When I was younger, a teenager, I loved going to car shows, and we would go back to Michigan in the summer to visit. And there was this place out just outside of town that would have these huge car shows. People from all over would bring their cars and stuff. And a lot of times on those car shows, they would have pictures of the old car and the pile of rust that it was. And then you see what they brought it to be. And they're these beautiful cars, no blemish, no flaws. You know, there's just fancy, fully decked out, but you can see the progression of where it once was to where it is now. Now, looking at that car totally restored, I'm not going to go, what a rust bucket. I'm not going to go, man, that thing's a piece of junk. No, it's been restored. It's brand new almost. It's better than new sometimes. They upgrade. They're better than new. And if you see that car going down the road, you're not going to go, What was the old word? Jalopy. That's not an old jalopy, is it? That's not a rust bucket. You're going to go, wow, look at that car. Isn't that beautiful? So why is it different for us that God's restored us now when we've confessed our sins, when we're in Christ, that now we shouldn't be looking at our lives going, wow, what a piece of garbage I still am. No, now everything's changed. It's all brand new. And so how are you now? Can you see the difference in your life from where you were to where you are now? Is there a change? If there's no change, you need to open up your Bible. You need to get on your knees. If there's change, and the thing is with restoring an old car, you know, with restoring an old car is sometimes, there was a show that I used to watch, and I love that show, and they would take these cars and they would steal them from people, so to speak, and they'd restore them in like 2 weeks. And they'd go all the way through it. I love that show. It was so awesome as how quick they could restore those cars. But they had a whole team of people there doing it. But there's a lot of times what happens, though, it's a guy in his shed, it's a guy in his garage, and once in a while he may have a few buddies, he may have a few family members come over, but it's a progression of that car getting done, and sometimes it takes years. But the thing is there's always change happening. Get what I'm saying? Is there change happening in your life? See, some of you might say, Pete, there's still an area that I'm battling against. Good! You're battling! You're waging war! You're fighting through it! It's when you stop battling and you give in that you need to be worried. But when you're battling through stuff, then that means you're progressing and getting better and better and better. And see, that's how it should be with God and with our walk with God. The things that I got convicted, I confessed to the elders last week. I got convicted about something from 5 years ago. And had to make it right. I was your preacher 5 years ago. It wasn't something that just was blatantly sinful. But God doing a work in me, He says, Pete, you need to go back and you need to take care of this. 5 years later, God doing a work in me. I want God changing my life. I want God transforming me so that when people look at my life, they won't praise me, but they'll say, look what the Lord has done. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift to God, not by works, so that no one can boast. There's no boasting in Pete being up here preaching. There's no boasting in anything good in me. It's all God. And verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's all God. And it's when we're in God, when we're in Christ that the transformation takes place. And then we need to start living it out and confessing it out and recognizing the change. There's an old song that came to my mind. It's probably from the late 90s or early 2000s. It was a Stephen Curtis Chapman. Y'all know who Stephen Curtis Chapman even is. And the song was called The Change. And you guys remember that song? And he's like, the song's really good. And it talks about he's got his Christian T-shirt that says what he believes. He's got his bracelet. He's got his keychains. He's got a doormat that when you walk in his home, it blesses you. The magnets on his refrigerator. It goes through everything that he has to profess that he's a Christian. But then the song says, but what about the change? Is the Holy Spirit living inside of me? I'd have to sing it to get it all right, and I'm not going to do that. But what he's saying is you can have the Christian T-shirt, you can wear the What Would Jesus Do bracelet, you can do all those things, and it doesn't make you a Christian. It's the change on the inside. It's God's Spirit dwelling in you. I think that's one of the lines. It's God's Spirit dwelling in you. It's the change. That's what it's about. I'm sitting up here, getting excited. For we are God's workmanship, and it's God working in us. It's not by my might and my strength. It's me dying and saying, God, live through me now. Please come and take control of my life. And see, when we do that, do we recognize the change? Do we recognize what God is doing in our life? And then in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone... So remember how I started off with our words have power and that all have sinned, right? All of us. All of us have sinned. That's what the Bible says. But then see what this verse says. If anyone, so that's anyone, is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So we go from just the old sinner to a new creation. Do we get it, church? Are we confessing that with our mouth? I'm a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I'm a new creation. You might say, oh, you're just talking all this mumbo jumbo about words and psychology and all that. No, but I'm telling you, the Bible says our words have power. And when we confess, I'm just a sinner, I'm just a sinner. What are you going to be? You're going to be just a sinner. That's what you're going to live out. But when we confess, I am a new creation. I heard people talking a testimony of a lady that smoked, and she would confess every morning as she was lighting up her cigarette, God set me free from these cigarettes. She says, as I was lighting the cigarette, I would say, God set me free from these cigarettes. God set me free from these cigarettes. And she said, you know what? One day it didn't taste good no more, and God truly set me free. It was. I can't remember the exact amount of time, but it was several times of her saying, God has set me free. God has set me free. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in what we say. So are we confessing, I am a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Can I tell you that sometimes in my life, I need to get my mind right. Because the power of sin can be so strong. And sometimes I have to confess things and just say, I am a new creation. That no longer has dominion over me. That no longer has control over me. And you know what? I'm battling. There's some kind of control there that I need God's help and deliverance from, but I have to confess that. You know, I used to smoke. I smoked for several years. I hadn't smoked in a long, long time. But every once in a while, I'll see somebody light up a cigarette. Every once in a while, I'll go, man, that looks good. And then all at once, I'm going, wait a minute. I don't want to go back to that. You say, oh, Pete, okay, so that's pretty obvious. But what about that television program that God told you to quit watching? And then you see a commercial and there's a big plot twist and you know all the characters and you're like, oh, I just got to know what happens. And you go back and you go back and binge watch all the seasons to get caught up. That's not quite as obvious, is it? That's those things that Satan is always trying to pull us back into and entrap us and enslave us. And when we confess, I'm just a sinner, we fall right into his trap. But when we say, I am now a new creation, therefore anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. I would encourage every one of you to highlight in that in your Bible, to put it as your screensaver on your phone, to put it in your phone notes, so that when you're struggling, when you're going through a battle, when there's something waging war against your soul, that you could stop, you could pull out your phone, you can bring it up to memory, you can open up your Bible and say, I am a new creation now. Romans 6:18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. How many times do we confess that? I've been set free from sin, and now I'm a slave to righteousness. I've been set free from sin, and now I'm a slave to righteousness. I remember one morning, and I can't even remember what the battle was, and I was at UPS, and I was loading trucks, and I was a new Christian, and I was so upset about something, and so struggling with something, and I remember walking into that back of that truck, and just crying out to Jesus, and begin confessing Jesus over my life. And the battle was won. The battle was won. But if I say, well, I'm just a sinner, I guess I just give in. That's not battling. That's not walking in victory. You have been set free from sin, have become slaves to righteousness. So let me ask you today, are you actively living in sin? When I say that, actively living in sin, I was thinking about, you know, how many times the Bible refers to walking in the light and being in the light. One of my biggest things is I stub my toe. And, you know, sometimes I stub my toe in the dark, and sometimes I stub my toe in the light. It happens. It happens a lot. My kids laugh at me when it happens. You know, sometimes I can be walking along in the middle of the day, bright as it can be, and I can hit something with my toe. And it hurts. You know, sometimes you can be walking in the light and you might stub your toe. You might mess up. You might say something you wish you could take back. You might have looked at something that you know you shouldn't have looked at. But the Holy Spirit says, Pete, stop. The Holy Spirit says, plug your name and stop. Stop. Sometimes I went on, got a good laugh, keep going, and then I regret it and I repent and I ask God to forgive me. But that's not what I'm talking about here. But if you're actively pursuing sin, when I was in high school, I had enough of Jesus to ask Him to forgive me every night, but then I was seeing how much beer I could get bought for me, how much whiskey I could drink, how many parties I could go to, buying cigarettes. I was doing all that stuff. Jesus, forgive me, but then I'm going out partying. I was actively seeking a sinful lifestyle. That was my life. Jesus, forgive me, but I was actively seeking how much corruption I could get into. When the change happened, I'm no longer seeking that stuff. Are you seeking that in your life? If you're seeking that, today's the day you need to do business with God. I don't care if you've been in church your whole life or this is your first Sunday here. If you're actively seeking out sin in your life, you need to do business with God and ask Him to forgive you right now. And then you need to allow Him to take control and become that new creation. In church, if you have been saved and you're living for God, let's be careful the words that we're saying. Let's quit confessing over ourselves just being an old sinner, old drunk, old whatever. Let's quit confessing that over ourselves, and let's begin to confess that we are a new creation, that we have been set free from sin. Let's begin to confess that with our mouth and live it out in our lives. Last verses here is 2 Corinthians 6:14. And it says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can there be? Can light have with darkness?" So this is talking about being yoked together with unbelievers, but I believe also, as we read on here, that it's also talking about being yoked together with the world, with the sinful nature, with what sin is. And what fellowship do we have with it anymore? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God, you, and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, "I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord." Since we have these promises, last verse here, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. That sums it up. Are we living our lives in reverence and fear of God, and separating ourselves from the things of this world in the sinful nature? If you're not, start today. If you haven't been, repent. If you're actively seeking out sin and it has such a hold on you, there's things, you know, we could go through the verses about if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to steal, cut it off. There's things in our life sometimes that we have to cut out, and it hurts. And it's painful. I remember I had a whole bunch of friends in high school, and they was all groomsmen in my wedding, and I had the typical bachelor party and all that stuff. I wasn't a child of God then, and out doing what I shouldn't have been doing. And so then, as years went on, and they all began to get married, I was invited to be a groomsman in their wedding. But something had happened. I got saved. And then all at once, I'm at the party and everybody's getting drunk and I'm not. And then there's all at once a little bit of, "Oh, Pete thinks he's too good. I heard you were a Christian now." And then no longer was I invited. Wasn't included anymore. But that's okay. I wanted to let my light shine. I wanted to be different. In church, sometimes, thankfully, by the time I was invited to those parties, I was strong enough. But sometimes we have to cut off things in our life because we're not strong enough. We have to turn off the cable. We have to put blockers on our phone. We have to get people out of our life. You can't go sit at the bar and not drink, so you just don't go to the bar. You have to do what the Lord tells you to do to get away from it. And that's what He's talking about here, to separate ourselves. What fellowship do we have with that anymore? If you're struggling, keep struggling. Keep fighting. Don't ever give in. And eventually, you're going to get through it. But let's call ourselves with what the Bible calls us now: the righteousness of God, a holy priesthood, a new creation, that we've been set free from sin. And we're no longer a slave to sin, but we're a slave to righteousness now. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. And Lord Jesus, I don't understand what's going on in every life in here. Sometimes, Lord, I don't even understand what you're trying to do in my own life. But Father, I pray that for each and every one of us, that we would be battling through sin, that we'd be battling through temptation, Lord, that if there's changes that we need to make, that we would make them this morning. If there's people, if there's situations, whatever it is, Father, that we would hear Your voice and that we would make those changes necessary. Lord, help us to be set free, truly free. Help us to not believe the lie that we're just old sinners, but that we're new creations now with You. May You do a work in every life in here. And Father, if there's any here this morning that's never confessed their sins, that's never come before You and said, God, forgive me, I've rebelled, I've been a sinner, that they would recognize that this morning by the power of Your Holy Spirit, and that they would come before You and know that there's forgiveness found, that Your blood washes away those sins, if we'll just come. It's not by our work, it's not by our might, but it's the work that You did on Calvary, it's the work that You did on that cross, that You now can give us that new life, that You now can transform us into something awesome. And You have Your way now. Where Satan's whispering in people's ears and lying to them, and telling them that they can't be forgiven, we know Your blood can cover it. Where Satan's lying to them and saying that they can't be set free, we know there's freedom found in You. May Your will be done now in Jesus' name. There's no greater testimony in your life. It's not the words you speak, it's the life that you live, and it's a life transformed. That's the greatest testimony of all. We're not like everybody else anymore. And God's done something great in your life and in my life to transform us. I feel like some of y'all, you need to be careful where you're going, what you're doing, who you're hanging out with. I won't go into too many details, but I was at a place a while back. And there was a whole bunch of guys smoking pot. And someone said, wow, Pete sure reacted well to all that. It didn't tempt me at all. Matter of fact, I want them to see Jesus in me, so it didn't bother me to be around them guys doing that, because I have no desire whatsoever to smoke it. But can I tell you where I struggle is at work. When we're all sitting around and they begin to gripe and complain, I'll jump right in. But both sin. And it's easy for us to look at this person that's struggling with drugs or cigarettes or alcohol or adultery. It's easy to look at them and go, look at that. As we're gossiping and talking bad about people and griping, complaining, oh, but my sin. Sometimes when everybody's sitting around talking, I just have to go because I can't. I'm going to jump right in if I don't. And it's okay to get away until I'm strong enough to not do it. Some of you need to be careful where you're at right now because Satan's going to pull you under. He died to set you free and to make you a new creation. May we live that out and that be the testimony this week. Not the words we speak, but the life that we live. And if you're a child of God, let's quit saying I'm just an old sinner. Because God saved you and He's transformed you and you're a new creation now in Him. Begin to confess it and live it out. Y'all have a blessed day. And Lord willing, we will have our men's meeting Wednesday.